Now on today's program, we're talking about one of the creepiest films of all time. I'm not going to use the spectacular theme song, but it almost qualified. It's called Don't Tell Her It's Me. I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Zadek.
Chris Cabin.
Eric Siska.
And we hate movies. Welcome to We Hate Movies on the Sideshow Network. Thank you for tuning in to the program as always this week. Like we said at the top of the show, Don't Tell Her It's Me, a.k.a. what?
The Boyfriend School.
The Boyfriend School. For a second, I thought you were looking for a title that would describe this.
Like, no, no.
Like The Lonely Rapist.
Or, Mark Duplass's Creep.
It's from 1990, directed by a fella named Malcolm Mowbray. This is a Steve Guttenberg vehicle, and Shelley Long's riding shotgun with Jamie Goetz.
Jamie Goetz.
Goetz.
And Bernie Goetz's daughter.
Oh, that's right. The Subway Avenger, excuse me. Daughter of Subway Avenger.
I wish her dad was Bernie Goetz, because fucking straighten this guy out.
Straighten him right out. But only if he takes the subway. That's only where vengeance is taken.
And if he's African-American, obviously.
That's how Bernard saw it.
Well, you also got Kyle MacLachlan.
Yeah, so and you got his Twin Peaks co-star, Machin Amick.
There's an extra that looks a lot like Tim Conway coming up.
That's true.
That was a sweet find.
Oh, and Sparkle Motion for a scene.
Oh, yeah, whatever that lady's
disturbing
name is.
Scene.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so let's get into it. This is a rom-com of sorts, mm-hmm. in where Shelley Long is a romance novelist, and her brother, Steve Guttenberg, is recently recovering from a bout with cancer
with Hodgkin's.
She hatches quite a disgusting plan to get him laid, possibly for the first time.
Criminal, I would say. Criminal.
It's a criminal enterprise.
Yeah, definitely. I think so.
Yes. Yeah. Criminal enterprise.
Yeah, she could totally press charges at the end of this.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Easily.
In a nutshell,
she should.
In a nutshell, this is an entire movie. This is a feature-length film made out of that last bit in Revenge of the Nerds when the dude's pretending to be someone else. Well, he's not pretending to be Darth Vader.
Yes, he is.
What?
She was dating Darth Vader.
Right? Oh, she thought she was going to have sex with David Prowse and it turned out to be this guy?
Oh, David Prowse.
Man, how disappointing when he can't do the voice.
Yeah, I mean, that's the question. If you want to fuck Darth Vader, ladies and gentlemen, we'll go around the horn here.
Yeah.
Would you rather fuck, not would you rather, would you be better served having sex with David Prowse or James Earl Jones? I mean, fun sex, we know where we're going.
Earl Jones, I feel like that's also, you want to have sex with someone for the story. I think that also
I think James Earl Jones is
the story. Yeah, no one would care that you fucked David Prowse.
They'd say who?
Yeah, exactly. But you tell someone you fucked James Earl Jones, like, wow, you fucked James Earl
you
Jones.
You took all of that?
What?
Wow! Good God!
Well,
I mean, you're right, but who knows?
Chris Cabin, this is a family show,
uh-huh.
and that's one demerit.
Demerits. Oh, Lord. Because what this movie is Steve Guttenberg pretends to be someone else and under that guise has sexual intercourse with Jamie Goetz.
Yep.
And ruins her life for approximately 4.5 minutes.
So, but we open in South Carolina.
Charleston.
We've got my least favorite kind. That's not true. One of my least favorite kinds of opening. My least favorite kind of opening is a fake movie. Fake movie. But this is... is this the story I'm trying to tell? No, it's this one.
Oh, actually, wait,
it's that.
All right, because like they do narrator.
They do the rewind sound effect, and it's like, no, I was just writing my romance novel.
It's like we open on a dock. No, we open on a big mansion.
And it rewinds. Why does it have to rewind? I'll change it.
I'll tell you why, because later in this movie, it turns out she has a recorder.
And she's talking
to her recorder.
Wait, this whole movie was inside that recorder?
Yeah.
And that whole recorder was inside the mind of Tommy Westphal.
It is oddly reminiscent of Christopher Nolan's Inception.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of nods to Don't Tell Her It's Me in Christopher Nolan's Inception.
It's a shame your kid can't talk. I wonder how many television shows and movies are going on inside that snow globe.
You ever look at the chart of that?
Oh, it's like everything.
It's fucking impressive.
That kid is creative.
That kid's won a lot of Emmys.
We open with it's a Shelley Long. You find out that she's a romance novelist. We cut to a cartoon opening, ladies and gentlemen. That's what we want.
That's what you want. And this cartoon is so Steve Guttenberg is like an illustrator, cartoonist.
He's fat too.
Well, yeah,
he's a great big fat guy.
But this is like we were saying this, while we were
he's
watching
also fat.
the drawing suggests that the geniuses behind Ziggy have a case against this movie.
Easily.
Because the Goots, like, character that he draws or whatever is kind of just Ziggy.
It's a big, round,
fat guy. It's like Ziggy, but it's kind of, like, more towards, like, a Kirby Jigglypuff-esque shape.
If Ziggy was more, you know, human-sized.
Yeah.
He is. He's, like, a human-sized Ziggy.
Wait, is Ziggy famously, like... Like
is he tiny?
He's compact. He's barely tied with legs.
I don't know you guys, you know, I don't know the Ziggy comic book verse that you guys read. But
well, I know which calendar you're getting for Christmas.
Does he like shrink down and like go through keyholes and he's getting into adventures?
No, Ant-Man.
What is he? He's just making a bunch of cute observations.
Yeah, you know. He's just like he's just a grocery store. Oh, whoops.
But then he meets Hank Pym and then it all goes.
Hey, Ziggy, I'm Hank Pym. You want a suit I can sell you?
Hold on a second. I just got to smack this. My wife. Well, that's in the comic books, right? In the comic book history. No,
that's not Michael Douglas.
Not Michael Douglas. No,
that's not him laying waste to Catherine Zeta-Jones. He actually pleasured her famously to the point of cancer to bring it around to the
inside. I fucked her till I almost killed myself. So he's drawn these little Ziggy cartoons. We meet him, and this is the Goot. He's overweight, and he's also been receiving chemotherapy.
Yeah.
And this makeup that they got him in, he looks like Jason Voorhees.
He does.
He really does, because he's like, there's some of the reminiscence, like the hair's hanging off.
Remnants of his once great Goot fro that
but
he
it's
always
like
has.
these long it's like a bald head with just some long pieces of hair here and there, and he looks like Jason Voorhees. He really does.
You know what, actually, kind of more accurately, in Friday 4 when Corey Feldman shaves his head swiftly
when he does an impromptu Jason cosplay real quick.
That's kind of close.
You know what, maybe Steve Guttenberg's playing Tommy Jarvis.
Oh, wow.
Because he goes crazy at the end of 5. They kind of got rid of that, though, right?
Oh, so
was that him in that?
Yeah, it was.
Number 5?
He runs off
to be Jason.
Yes.
He runs off to South Carolina, and then he decides to...
get cancer.
Well, yeah.
No one decides to get cancer.
He walks up and says, sign me up. And then he decides to, I guess, kind of like... He's pulling a con.
It's a con job is what we're dealing with here.
So Shelley Long, we open on Shelley Long coming to his house. He's eating a bunch of Hungry Man dinners. And the weird thing is, like, his head is, because they didn't actually buy a fat suit. They just bought like fat makeup to put around his head. So it's like roundish, but like he's still skinny. Steve Guttenberg.
He looks like Vincent Price playing the Eggman in the Batman original series.
He does look like a boiled egg. That was the first thought when I saw him. I was like,
it's like a Christopher Lloyd Fester Adams situation. Yes.
And again, we're not making fun. I want to be clear. We're not making fun of cancer victims. We're making fun of bad makeup in movies.
Yeah. Well, of course everybody knows. That.
I hope so.
Yeah. Well, don't worry about it. We're all right.
All right, all right.
We're all right.
All right.
So she's like criticizing him, like eating all this food, and it's like, dude, be thankful he's got an appetite. What are you even doing?
I think he's just in remission at the beginning of the film. Like it's just over. Like yesterday, he's still taking like medicine.
Pills, she's like bringing him medicine. I think it's supposed to be like the last batch or whatever it is.
And she's like, well, got to get back on the horse.
Yeah, she's like, okay, the last pills have been down. Now let's get it wet. And you're like, wait. Wait, he's just getting over cancer, and you, his sister, are super concerned about him having sex? That's what this movie is?
She needs to guide it right in there. Just guide it in there.
Well, because she knows romance.
She wrote the book.
He needs rest. Like, just stop. Stop fucking telling him to go. All these, he's fine. Let him sleep a little bit more. And then, like, 2 weeks, maybe a month.
I would say even a couple of months. I mean, just get back on the horse. You get some movies going. Maybe you start going out. You go to the diner for lunch. That's like a big outing.
That's a big step. That's being outside for more than 3 hours at a time. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
You ever have a surgery? You're like, oh, man, I can go out today. This is exciting. Yeah. Like, you know, it's not like, well, when are you going to fuck? Excuse me, sir. When are you going to fuck?
Yeah.
And that person saying, excuse me, sir, is your older sister. Ew.
Question.
Yeah.
Because we find this out later. We don't find this out later, actually. It's an open-ended question.
Well, you know, that's the ambiguity of Don't Tell Her It's Me is what makes this such a classic.
Is he a virgin?
No.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
I think he is.
I think so, too.
Yeah. I think we have no evidence to the contrary, Chris. I'm curious.
Because I feel like... I kind of feel like you would have to make a point of saying that.
Okay, that's fair.
You would have to make a point of being like, it's my first time. I don't want to do it right after I had cancer.
To be fair, we talked over a lot of this movie.
Yeah,
so we could have missed something.
Also, I'm imagining that your older sister wouldn't be so committed to getting you laid if you didn't have a severe problem with getting laid.
Well, here is where I think that comes from her trying to escape her awful family.
Let's get into it.
I think that's more
this
of the situation.
Marriage is hanging on by a thread,
and I think she's getting a little thrill out of
living through his thing,
cancer-ridden bot. Yeah. It's really weird. It's really, really fucking weird.
This is an odd film. This is an off.
And
off
also,
turn.
We should say that this is apparently impossible to find. I didn't know that.
It is so. I went on Amazon and a freaking DVD at this point, used DVD, $78.
Just. I want to message that person on the internet and be like, why? What makes you justify that price?
Because there's only five left in the world.
I kind of want to message that person myself and say, sold.
I got the work print, Eric, if you want it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Does it have like the temp music that they borrowed from other movies?
Yep,
and then Dr. Loomis dies in the end of this one?
And it's got like, it's filmed in a stairway, like down. Like, the TV is at the bottom of the steps. The camera's at the top of the steps. It's really good.
Dude, I would take a bootleg of this movie.
Sick boot?
What?
A sick boot.
Get it on the boot.
Yeah. Is that an express? Is that a popular term?
It's derived from bootleg.
Okay. Well,
you never heard the boot? Get it on the boot?
No.
Oh, wow.
Where are you from?
New York. You got to get out more.
Literally an hour from you.
Well, clearly what you guys are saying is an Albany expression.
Of course.
It's more of a Utica saying.
So she's just, she's up his ass. And he's like, lady, would you stop? Then we meet Jamie Gertz.
Right.
Who's a writer.
I guess a reporter.
Journalist, yeah.
No, let's not get nuts.
She writes,
it's for this local paper. What's it called?
The Grackle?
The Grackle.
The Grackle. The Grackle.
I love that. You get Sports Jeopardy on that?
Yeah, I was going to say, does it stream Joe Dirt too? Yeah, get it on Grackle. So the Grackle is like the local newspaper in this Charleston, South Carolina. Don't know if it's modeled off of a real paper.
Looks abandoned from the outside.
I mean, yeah, it looks like the town burned down yesterday.
It's really weird. And I don't know if this was filmed on location because Charleston, South Carolina itself is a very nice town.
Mm-hmm.
So, but this looks like a fucking, it looks like Don Johnson and A Boy and His Dog. You remember that movie? Post-apocalyptic film.
That movie's also, I think, centers around getting laid a little bit as well.
Yeah, it's him and a talking dog, and he's going around having sexual intercourse. Yeah. Don Johnson, not the talking dog.
Yes, thank God.
Yeah, talking dog's there, though. He's got some.
If you want to see a talking dog try to get laid, you got to watch Food Fight.
Yeah, oh, that's right.
Or Jerry Lee, and he doesn't talk.
Oh, right, K-9.
He doesn't have to talk.
Chris Cabin, what are some other movies where dogs have sex?
Dogs have sex? Hooch. Turner and Hooch.
Turner and Hooch, yeah.
Look Who's Talking Now.
Yeah, Bingo. I think Bingo.
Yeah,
Bingo gets it wet. That's right.
Wait, is any of those Mutts and Homeward Bound?
No, those films are marred with too much tragedy.
I believe the is Robert Redford Golden Retriever is like romancing a lady dog in the second one in San Francisco.
Okay.
Robert Redford's not doing the voice of that dog.
Who's doing the dog?
The dog from in the first movie, I believe it was Don Ameche.
Oh, yes. And then
he bit it.
R.I.P.D.
Yeah.
Lady and the Tramp, yeah, that's a famous one where that's like the top dog sex movie.
That's a top.
There's that whorehouse scene in Milo and Otis. That's a really good one.
Right.
They get that money. Otis
is old man, like takes him to the
Oh, and we're forgetting the biggest one, Beethoven second.
Did you know
apparently in Milo and Otis they abuse those animals nonstop?
Oh, did they really?
I read about that. Wow. Like it was
making the movie?
Yeah. I think they went through a couple of animals.
Oh no, there were several Otai?
Yeah, I think
it's not an American movie. They dubbed it.
Japan or something?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a tragedy.
I heard they killed a ton.
Oh, man.
You think Dudley Moore was behind that? Like, that dog keeps stepping on my lines. Get him.
Was he in that movie?
He does the voice, I think, of Otis or of Milo.
One of them. I don't remember that.
Yeah. I don't think
that
he's the voice of
that dog's supposed to run from here to there while I talk. He's doing it wrong. Kill him.
I think.
What is he looking at? Daily?
Yeah, no, he's around the world recording in a sound booth.
Dude, unless dog can't get that can open, you've got to kill him.
That's actually, at one point, Dudley Moore was controlling Hollywood, and he could pick up a phone and tell anyone to kill a dog, and it would happen.
Oh, yeah, between Penn and Arthur,
whatever he wants.
That was the sweet spot for laying down a dog murder request. Oh, whatever. So, yeah, she's a writer for this paper. Her boss, by the way, her sexy boss, Kyle MacLachlan.
He's doing it for me, I gotta say.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, he's
wearing
great.
The most ridiculous sunglasses I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah, those are something else.
Every outfit he's in is ridiculous.
It's pretty great. I mean, for this dude, the 80s have not ended. This movie's 1990, so like we're making this movie in the 80s, but you can tell this particular kind of guy let the 80s just slide right towards like 95.
Yeah, he's having a good time, man. Let it ride.
Totally. These sunglasses in particular are straight out of fucking Wild Wild West.
Because they've got like side panels?
Yeah, which are normally reserved for old people while driving.
Or people in the post-apocalypse.
Yeah, yes. or that. Yeah, a boy and his dog. Oh, wait, there's some of those cool sunglasses.
Might be any day now.
Any day. You know what? Clock's ticking.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
Might happen tonight, actually. The day this episode comes out.
Yeah.
Oh right.
Shit. Well, let's not talk about it. Let's let the people have some relief.
Yes, we're here to have fun.
Levity.
Talk about this weird romantic comedy.
They're someone's listening to this and they're seeing all the windows being broken out next door and the chaos consuming the town. But
So she gets assigned by her boss to cover a romance novelist convention.
Okay.
A lovebury.
Oh, a lovebury.
Are you all children, by the way? Jamboree. Lovebury.
Oh, it's a lovebury. Yeah. Oh, I got it now.
Well, to answer your question, I do consider myself a child.
At heart?
Yeah.
No, just in general.
Oh, okay.
That too. That's what I try to tell the feds. I'm a minor.
You know what, though? This is what's the most unbelievable part about this movie. We're showing this like romance writers convention where all these romance novel fans and creatives are coming together in one weird hotel ballroom in Charleston, South Carolina.
Uh-huh.
Not a single fucking Garfield sweatshirt.
No Warner Brothers, Looney Tunes paraphernalia.
Yeah, Looney
nowhere.
Tunes with Attitude sweatshirts. None of those. Give me a break.
The Looney Tunes ones, I think there was a resurgence in the more towards the mid-90s, maybe?
It was like a 94 thing.
Before the Warner Brothers store opened, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
All right,
this is pre-WB, and then there's post-WB, and that's just the way the world is.
Wait a second, though. So, all right, but you're telling me there's nary a Kathy t-shirt around?
There would be cat sweaters. There would be all that stuff. You're right.
There's just you're right.
Oh, you know what's also conspicuously missing? Some BUM equipment.
Oh, guaranteed you'd see that there.
Big dog sweaters. Where are they?
Some big dog t-shirts out of with him doing like Glengarry Glen Ross or something.
What?
Oh,
That would be very hard to convey in embroidery.
No, there were hundreds of those t-shirts. Yeah. I guarantee you that one didn't exist.
I guess it would be like water bowls or foreclosers.
ABB, always be barking. Yeah,
a dog's at a chalkboard pointing at
things. A dog at a chalkboard. Well, now I've heard it all.
Pointing at things like bones.
I would wear that today. Happily. We got to get that. Do you think maybe the Bugle Boy shows up?
Probably, yeah. That sounds right. The Bugle Boy himself.
A
couple Arizona jeans in the house.
The point is, the people at this conference are way too well dressed for what the reality is.
And while she's covering this conference, she meets Shelley Long. And right. Decides to do a feature on her. Is that my understanding?
Yeah, because she's got like a gnome de plume, and so she like discovers who Shelley Long is, and she's like, "Wow, this is a hot scoop for someone, probably."
Yeah, page like 59 of 60 in the magazine, like right before the personal ad.
Below the fold, I think.
Yeah, oh, it's a below the fold for sure.
Oh, yeah, the grackle fold. Man, that's low.
The grackle fold. I like that's
below
great.
The grackle
that sounds
fold.
Filthy, actually.
That's like a Robert Ludlum. No,
I was going to say H.R. Geiger.
Robert Ludlum's below the grackle fold.
So she's like, hey, oh, you know, you're a lady. Why don't you come over to my house for dinner? And, you know, you can meet my brother who's really handsome and really cool, and you'd love each other.
Gus, what was his last name? Kubitschek?
Kubitschek.
Yeah.
Gus Kubitschek.
They should just call him the Kube.
Yeah. They should call him the Kube. He should also be called Gus Michael Kubitschek, because this is a kind of a crime that's a three-name crime kind of a thing.
Oh, no, guaranteed.
If you see Gus Michael Kubitschek.
He's considered heavily armed. He may have a pipe bomb.
Nobody saw him. He's considered to have been captured by aliens.
He might be talking in a odd accent.
Oh, we'll get there in just a quick second, won't we? So she comes over for dinner, and you want to talk about rivaling the dinner scene in Texas Chainsaw Massacre. This, I think, is the second most awkward dinner scene in history.
Because like, it's a really uncomfortable situation for her to begin with. Like, going to somebody's house you don't know, and then you have to like... You have to meet their family. There's a kid involved. There's a kid that doesn't talk.
No.
That they call Piglet.
Oh, Piglet. You again.
Oh, Piglet, who let you out of the cellar?
So, to be clear, it's a little girl.
Eat your fish heads, Piglet.
I want to give some context.
For Piglet, please.
It's a cute little girl, just cute as any little kid you'd see in a movie.
Yeah.
Whose name I think is Emily or Emily Beth or something.
Annabelle.
But they call her Piglet. And I mean, like, everybody's calling her Piglet.
The wrong twin drowned, Piglet.
And she's mute, or she has some problem.
She's pre-verbal, they call that.
Yeah, even though she's, what, like three or something? She's I don't know three. When kids start talking.
It's before three, yeah. And she's like really weird and uncomfortable. But like, they're just calling this kid Piglet.
That's not helping.
No. That's, you know what it's going to do? It's going to give her a lot of problems growing up.
Yep. You know what they called me? Piglot.
Hey, Piglot, you off the canyon or what?
No, leave me alone.
Hey, Piglot, get out of here. Your slop bucket's ready.
Leave me alone.
Stop sucking on those screws, Piglot.
Man, let's get into that. This girl's got a weird oral fixation. We meet this little girl. She's putting greasy screws in her mouth.
It's a greasy fucking
vomit.
You see, like, they're doing some housework, and you see, like, this kid pick up, it's in a vat of like oil and grease.
Oh my God. Which I don't know why this is sitting in the middle of the living room.
Especially
by the way.
If your kid has pica, you gotta keep this shit away from her.
Oh my God.
And do you think it's actually diagnosed?
It could be. I don't have her chart right in front of me here.
Question, did you learn that from watching Hoarders?
No, I learned that from watching My Strange Addiction.
What is pica?
Pica is when you eat shit. Like just eat anything, like eat stuff that's inedible. Like if you're for example, in an episode of My Strange Addiction,
please.
Chewing on couch cushions.
Sure.
And you call them cushion. You call it eating cushion.
Okay. Cushion. I can't wait to get home and eat some fucking cushion.
Oh, so Chris, you can identify with this.
Can't wait to get home, take the dogs off, sit down, have a hot plate of cushion.
Take the dogs off?
Hey, Piglot, get out here. Your cushion's ready.
You see this woman just go home and eat like the insulation inside of a couch cushion and just like chop it on it like it's fucking popcorn.
Here's a very important question this poor soul. Now, is she getting like surplus couch cushions and eating that? Because she's going to eat herself right out of a seat.
I think she's getting there, but you know.
So they got to intervene before this couch is ruined?
Yes, exactly.
Is she eating it with the cover on or is she taking it out of the...
It's the cover off and you know like the kind of fray part inside, the good meat inside of it.
I didn't know if you peeled your cushion.
There's very little meat in these gym mats.
Exactly. And now do they have it raw or do they like cook it
put
up?
Put some
or,
hot sauce or, on it.
Hot sauce, maybe some olive oil.
That's good. Like a nice piece of bread in a nice restaurant.
Yeah, exactly.
Balsamic vinegar.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No, we're out of freshly ground black pepper for my cushion.
that's a problem. It's expensive because A, it's couch cushions, and B, that olive oil goes really fast.
Welcome to Chopped. You've got cushion, red onions, hot peppers, and a screwdriver.
Gong!
Yes. But yeah, so she... And like, Jamie Gertz almost throws up. Because it's really gross. It's viscerally filthy. in this kid's mouth.
She spits it up on her dress.
And she's wearing a white dress for some reason.
Jamie Gertz is.
I'm not sure if it's after Labor Day or before Labor Day.
I think
it's...
Yeah, we got to sort that out, though.
It's probably because she didn't imagine that a child would be vomiting up oil on her fucking dress.
Yeah, you never see that coming. That's the problem.
That's a gremlin move, man.
So they have to... this potential fashion criminal, we don't know yet, has to take her dress off because it's ruined, I guess. And
this is a great excuse to leave, by the way. Oh, no, I have to go now.
A fantastic excuse to leave, but does she? No. And what happens next? Oh, Gus the Creeper sneaking up to the doorway.
So he's dressed in like a very old man kind of suit.
He looks like Carl Reiner in Ocean's 11.
He looks exactly like Carl Reiner.
Literally any extra from Cocoon.
And he's wearing this like brown wig that what's her name that Shelley Long got him.
Which this is from a fucking discount Halloween bin.
Come on.
Like, listen, I'm telling you right now,
she's
Shelley
got
Long,
money.
You got money. And this isn't a costume party. Your brother's been suffering from cancer. He got chemotherapy. You go out and you get him a nice wig if you need to interfere this much.
She lives in a palace. It's like a it's like an old plantation. The thing's humongous. Why don't you spend some money?
Well, because he's too busy buying knickknacks and fucking gross screws for a kid to eat.
We are looking back with 2016 eyes, and maybe for the time, this was a very nice rug. I've actually seen worse rugs today.
Really?
Well, not today, but
I was gonna say
yesterday.
You just see like a bad wig today, man, and it's like, there's so many bald heroes now. Exactly. You know, Dwayne the Rock Johnson, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
We've knocked that door down. Yeah. It's okay to
Thank
be bald.
Thank you, Bruce Willis.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
You and your harmonica, your racist harmonica, saved us all.
Or you can go to Bosley.
Bosley?
The Bosley Institute. Get some new hair.
Oh, oh yeah, Bosley.
I'll mess this hair up if I won't mess this hair up.
Oh, Lord. So, yeah, he shows up looking like he should be staring at a fountain in Las Vegas after a heist.
It takes him a while because he's like, he's just waiting, idling in the driveway. He sees her. He falls in love with her immediately. He's like,
immediately.
I can't see her like this. And he like, he should just drive away.
He's got like no eyebrows and he's got like a triple chin. And he's just like, he looks a little, he's like a John Merrick figure at the start of this.
Look away. I will be your freak no more.
I think the Elephant Man is a much gentler spirit than this guy.
Yes,
I
agree.
That's true. Elephant Man will make love to you. This guy will...
Gus,
you know,
likes to fuck.
Yeah, Gus likes to do ungodly things. Crimes, many would call them.
So she's getting changed. Gus kind of sneaks in and he's like...
I'm going to get my peep on.
I think he wants to tell Shelley Long the wig sucks, that he's going to go home. He can't handle this. It's too soon. But he walks in on Jamie Gertz changing in this weird slip that she's wearing.
And using Shelley Long's Stairmaster, which is weird.
And he makes it worse than it has to be by covering his eyes and screaming and being and stammering and trying to explain it. Dude, just get out.
It's the old
whoop. Just get out.
It's the greatest thing. It's three letters. WUP. Whoop. Close the door.
And then like afterwards, you're like, oh, I'm so sorry. I did this, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, that's the end of it.
That's the end of it. Instead, we escalate. And he makes a scene out of it. But you know what? Everybody forgets it, though. Like, time heals all wounds.
Sure.
Because 4 minutes later, we're having the weirdest fucking dinner in a long time. This side of a Louis Buñuel movie.
So it's important to remember the early 90s and the late 80s, we were sort of obsessed with objectifying Chinese culture.
Yes, big time.
Yeah, and also, like, it being weird.
No, it's very strange. Because Shelley Long's in like an Asian dress there.
She's in this like form-fitting like red Asian dress with matching chopsticks in her hair.
Chopsticks in the hair. And then she's feeding everyone jellyfish salad or something?
No, that is the cuisine of the husband. The husband is cooking
They're both Asiophiles.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And it's supposed to instill a feeling in the audience, like sort of like how George H.W. Bush puked all up that sushi or whatever.
Oh, right.
It's just like, at that time, we weren't ready. We just weren't ready for Asian food.
Yeah. I mean, I still don't think I'm ready for a jellyfish salad, but it's like fucking Temple of Doom, man. Like, she puts this one plate down, something's flip-flapping on the inside.
It's monkey brains.
I heard that shit makes you crazy.
It is really like that in the first Addams Family movie when he's like trying to put his fork in.
Oh, and it keeps moving.
I think this, and it's weird to do this in the beginning of the movie and then drop it entirely, which is like, you see things from her perspective for a bit there. She's like, wow, this is gross. I think it's moving. And then
it was
like,
almost her movie for a little while.
Yeah, for a little bit. And then Steve Guttenberg ratchets it away.
Yeah. You know? Well, it's weird though, because there is that one part where she's like, she hallucinates that Steve Guttenberg's head like grows three sizes too large.
He looks like the Monster Man from the end of Riccio.
Oh, ew.
He looks exactly like it. It's insane.
This is when she's got a mouthful of the jellyfish
salad.
And she's like, she doesn't like it, and she's going to like hurl.
Yeah, she is going to hurl, to use a 90s term.
Exactly.
She'll wing, man.
Wayne's Worldian impression.
So at this point, she's going to throw up. She does throw up, right?
Yeah, she runs out. She retches, goes to the bathroom.
Yeah, and then like Shelley Long's like, oh, okay. And that's like the end of it.
You know what? I threw up at your house. That's enough for one night. Mm-hmm. We'll do this interview another time.
Exactly.
But instead, like, the husband starts blaring an opera record, and they like leave the two of them to get to know each other while they go do the dishes or like whatever the fuck. They go co-opt some other culture in the kitchen, maybe.
And he's got like noodles on his face and his wig is falling off. And it's sad situation.
It's sad. It's disgusting.
But you're supposed to be laughing your tits off, though. Uh-huh. Like, he accidentally bumps that wig and it like gets like, you know, misplaced on his head, and she notices it. And it's fucking humiliating for someone who's like recovering from cancer, who has to wear a wig in such a situation. But no, we're supposed to laugh at this fat cancer patient. Good God almighty.
No, thank you.
Yeah. And so then the whole thing is like, this music's too loud, so we can't hear each other talk. That's what I want to watch for 5 minutes.
That's great. It's really funny. Really, really funny.
They retire. She goes home. She goes back to Kyle MacLachlan. Her and Kyle MacLachlan are having the spat where he wants to see other people, in which case, like, but they're having like they're trying the open relationship thing, I think.
Slash, like, aren't they supposed to be kind of engaged to be married? When does that come in?
That comes in a little bit, I think, right?
It's later in the movie?
An open relationship engagement.
Oh, okay.
Which is
tough.
Stupid.
Well, whatever works for people.
So she comes over like the next day, and Shelley Long's like, "What'd you think of my brother?" Like, really pushing it.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, "Listen,
Shelley Long invades this woman's house."
Oh, that's right. Yeah. She barges in with the kid to do this interview or whatever it is. And, you know, she's like, "So what'd you think of my brother? You know, he's available, right? He just got off of cancer." And just, you know, and she's
she doesn't say that.
Say cancer.
Yes.
And she's like, "Yeah, here's the thing. I'm kind of seeing somebody." And Shelley Long's like, not taking no for an answer.
She flips the fuck out about this.
She's like, "Oh, I'm so sorry. He's not so fucking handsome for you. Did you know he have cancer, you bitch?"
Right. Yes, you're right.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's like, if he had wavy hair and muscles, you would love him and love him up.
Because you're a stupid bitch. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
You work for the fucking Grackle, you whore.
Do you even know what you want?
Maybe they didn't click. And maybe it's time to move on with our lives.
Mm-hmm. And then there's no movie here, which would be fantastic.
That would be pretty cool.
Really, really interesting short film.
Oh no, there's no movie here. Go kill that dog. I'm bathing dog's blood.
Oh God!
The only way you get going. Well, Dudley that's Moore why.
That's
a tyrant.
Yeah. That's why he. That's why he died early. Is because you know God had to strike him down.
Yeah, for sure. For
worse than Christopher Lloyd by a mile.
So the Goot like works himself up to call her, and this is uncomfortable because he's just like trying to ask this woman on a date.
Well, no, first Shelley Long comes back to the Goot's house. Is like, we're gonna trick this lady. You know what? She's gonna love you, Gutenberg. We're gonna all you have to do is like work with me. I'll get you on a diet plan. We'll make up a character for you. And he's like, no. That sounds totally nuts.
That sounds like the plot of a shitty romantic comedy.
I won't have it.
Hey, sis, that sounds like a crime. That sounds like an actual crime that I could get arrested for.
Yeah, that's a fucking class A felony, I feel.
So, you know, it's because she's the romance novelist. She knows what women want.
And she also knows stupid plots to stories.
Exactly. And she also hates her life at home. And she needs to be somewhere else away from it.
Yeah, she needs a project. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe your project should be like getting your daughter to stop eating lug nuts and to talk.
Right. Yeah. Maybe
special schools.
Spend some time with your children.
That would be nice, right? That would be nice.
Your kid is clearly crying out for it. Attention. Any old way she gets eating cushion every day.
Get your husband to stop fetishizing Asian culture.
That'd be
really trying to work through that shit. How about a nice fettuccine Alfredo for dinner one night? Let's give that a shot.
Or maybe hamburgers on the grill. How about that shit?
So he does, after this, he's like, no, I'm not going to do it. He tries to call Jamie Gertz just to ask her out on a date. He's like, yeah, I'm Gus, you know.
But this is the thing. And he's, it's something you learn from George Costanza, of all people. You need a game plan when you're making a phone call like this. He goes in with no plan.
You need some notes.
He wants to do a date with her. He wants to do a date.
I'd like to do a date with you.
Hey, you want to come over? We'll do a date.
But he's got no idea what this date is. So he while on the phone, is going through the newspaper and being like, oh, there's a concert.
Cowboy Junkies
are in town.
And he makes
and he
up-
just and he foolishly assumes he can get tickets.
Well, that's...
I mean, that's... That's that's sold out.
That's totally sold out. But yeah, no, and he says something. He's like, yeah, a friend of mine got me a couple of sweet ticks to the Cowboy Junkies. And I'm like, you're setting yourself up for all sorts of trouble, man.
If she said yes, what's she going to do?
Oh, no, I got robbed on the way to pick you up. We can't go see the Cowboy Junkies.
Do you like McDonald's?
It didn't work. It didn't work out. We should do dates now.
We should just do dates now. Then when she's like, no, I'm busy. He's like, oh, okay. And it's something about like a Chinese circus or something.
Yeah, it was like, oh, there's some Chinese acrobats. No, I'm sorry. There's some
Beijing acrobats.
Beijing acrobats are coming and they're great. It's a couple of Chinese.
Oh, yeah.
Period. He doesn't say it's Chinese people.
A fascinating group of Chinese.
That's it. That's the exact line.
Of Chinese. And I'm like, what is this movie trying to say?
It's got an axe to grind with somebody in Asia.
Yeah, absolutely.
Some fucking financiers maybe that wouldn't put the movie through.
Steve Gutenberg got paid, though. He got paid $1 million.
That's nuts. Yeah. What do you think Shelley Long got paid?
Not $1 million.
How about this? I guarantee you less than she would have been making on Cheers.
Oh, that's right.
Know where your bread is buttered.
She walked away. She was like, I'm going to do movies. And
movies didn't want to do her.
No.
Was the Money Pit before or after the Cheers walk away? Because that, I think, might have enticed her.
Wasn't Pit like 85?
I don't remember.
That might have been done on hiatus, and she was like, oh, the Money Pit's a hit. Guess what? Everyone's going to be in the Shelley Long business. No.
You know what's a totally watchable movie, though, is Troop Beverly Hills.
Oh, sure. The Money Pit's a watchable
movie. Oh, yeah, I like the Money Pit, too. But that's through no fault of hers. The Tom Hanks classic. You want to see him go mad.
So Gus doesn't get any fucking date with that.
No, because she didn't
want to
go
call.
See a couple of fascinating but, Chinese. Well,
the funny thing is that she gives him two excuses, and the last one is I'm doing anything else. Oh no, Cajun cooking class. That's what I'm doing, and I'm gonna make a shrimp etouffee.
Yes.
As she says.
Which then triggers the soundtrack to just go into Zydeco mode for 10 minutes, even though there's no cooking class.
But around now, we get to see, you know, what, you know, Gus is what she could have, but what does she have? Oh, wait, hunky Kyle MacLachlan hanging out in a cool office playing Narc, the video game, in his own private, like, video game. What do they call that?
Marry this man in his own tower.
The closet, yeah.
The arcade machine. He's got his own arcade
cabinet.
Yeah.
Now, for our younger listeners that aren't 49 years old, like the rest of us, Narc is a video game that was put out, I believe, by the Reagan administration, or there's a Reagan administration.
Was it an FBI brand or something?
That was in front display. Of a lot of video games.
And there's definitely a say no to drugs on the side.
It's an anti-drug game, but what you do is go into the inner cities with two machine guns, wear a motorcycle helmet, and destroy a town.
It was very fun, and it's very, very dumb.
You're shooting pushers, right?
Yeah, you're shooting a bunch of pushers that look like flashers.
Right.
Yeah, they've all got trench coats on.
Yeah,
either. Also, to explain to our younger listeners, there once was a place called an arcade where they had all the video games in the same room, and you'd go one to the next.
It's like, you know what it is, kids? It was a bigger version of that corner of the movie theater lobby that has all those cruising motorcycle games that you never see anyone touching. It was those in a big room, and everybody came together and played.
And you had a lot of options.
And you know what, kids? And then I need to tell you this. Smelled of crusty farts.
Oh, yeah.
One more thing I need to inform the younger audience is there was a time in America where the drug war wasn't strangling us alive, and we needed to sell it to the people, so we made little video games and cartoons.
We tried to make it fun!
Yeah.
Also,
McGruff the Crime Dog?
To tell it to the kids, make them sure they're up to date, Chris Cabin was a mean motherfucker on the Dance Dance Revolution.
Oh, man. Don't even start with me on that one. You will get, pwned?
Pwned.
Chris Cabin fact. Real life Chris Cabin fact. Excellent dancer.
Oh, excellent.
You ever have the fucking, I'm telling you right now, the fucking privilege to attend a wedding with Chris Cabin, look out to that dance floor.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you've got a dance floor you want set on fire.
Yeah, get that fire extinguisher ready because that shit's going to catch.
Well, it is not known, but Freddie Astaire was indeed my godfather. And he taught me quite a lot about those twinkle toes, you know?
That's how you learn to walk.
So, Steve Guttenberg then calls up Shelley Long after being horrifically humiliated.
God.
And, you know, instead of being like, well, I guess it didn't work out. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to do this. And I'm going to go on my own cooking class. Maybe I'll meet a different woman that might like me there.
Yeah. Right. Maybe I shouldn't obsess with the first woman I see.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
And the internet didn't exist. Or this woman's Facebook profile would have fucking broken.
Oh, yeah. Well, if Facebook existed back then, this woman would have been found fucking chained in a garage somewhere. Right next to the Goots property.
I'm just shocked she doesn't wind up cut up on a beach in this movie.
Like, every time she goes out, she looks at her phone, there's like, who keeps liking and unliking that vacation photo I have from 3 years ago?
What the, I mean, I just imagined you cut up on, I just thought of the Jaws scene. Rob Schneider's going down the beach. Oh my God. Gutenberg did this.
Did you say Rob Schneider?
You mean Roy Scheider. Scheider.
Although Rob Schneider in a Jaws remake, I could do that.
Sharkarama.
Getting eaten.
Deuce Bigelow and the Amity Beach.
Bigelow and the Amity Island Massacre.
There you go.
Did we pass the...
The narc scene, we talked about it for five minutes.
The future serial killer piglet eating a cockroach. We did, I think.
Oh God.
That was a real noise of me remembering that scene.
Oh, right. That's disturbing. Where Shelley Long barges in and pulls the whole, like, you don't like him because he's fat stuff. Somewhere in there, this girl walks out of a room with a cockroach sticking out of her mouth.
I'm literally keeping down my lunch right now because that was disgusting.
It's so gross.
They got, like, Tom Savini to make this fake cockroach. I don't know, like, they brought him in for one day, and it's perfect.
Oh yeah, it looks magnificent. But it's like it's a cockroach. It's not. I mean, it's like a bug you'd find in the desert. Like this thing ain't down in South Carolina. Come on,
I hope not.
It looked like the baby Starship Trooper bugs.
Oh yes. So he's like, "All right, I'll do it. Let's really pull this grift off." So then we get a fun montage,
and he's working out, and he's starting to look good.
Looking like the goot, like a 1989 goot.
Mahoney.
Oh yeah, dude, getting fit as a fiddle. And he's like jogging. Shelley Long's like riding a fucking scooter.
You know what? Just join a gym. You know what, sis? We'll do the next part of your scheme tomorrow. I just need some time alone.
Yeah,
or
totally.
Maybe fine. Help him with a diet and working out and leave it at that.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Because he's an adult.
And he's got a cool job. He's a somewhat successful comic strip artist.
Like, he's a Ziggy ripoff guy.
The creepiest thing you can do here is like, oh man, and maybe, you know, you're really into this lady and you're like, look, I'm going to really work out and I'm going to really get myself to be the best me, and I'm going to accidentally bump into her somewhere.
Sure.
Like, do you know where she works? Oh, I'm going to walk by there. Oh, I bumped into her. Like, that's a bit off the beaten path, but it's okay. And it's like, oh, look.
Right.
And she's like, look, you look so great. Wow, you lost so much weight, or whatever that is.
No, but instead they decide to go the fake name route, like the Art Vandelay.
Oh, yeah. But it's so beyond.
It is beyond.
Like George Costanza looks like an innocent babe in the woods compared to this sick, twisted scheme.
Because Shelley Long is like, oh, you know, it's not enough that for you to be in good shape and for you to be yourself. Women like men of mystery. Women
That's
like
true.
Foreign, bad boys.
Bad boys. She like, they're like foreign men. So we're going to.
Ooh, foreign men.
She's like, can you do an accent?
My wife, right? Very nice. Borat.
Yeah, I got it. We all got it.
He's a also. How about what was Andy Kaufman's foreign man?
Latka.
How about that?
Thank you very much.
Women like that.
Well, Carol Kane's character.
And did. I hate to harp on it, but like really,
the bug in the mouth.
Your daughter is home eating spiders and caterpillars and whatever the fuck else.
Yeah,
you're
coming.
That house.
You're coming home to a clean house.
Yeah, she's licking the floor. It's perfect. Fucking gross. Go home. Deal with the kid. Yes, let this guy live.
Yeah, before she winds up on Ripley's Believe It or Not.
Believe it.
Or My Gross Appetite or whatever that show is.
Or like she's just having like her face is pink and she has to go to house to figure it out. And like Omar Epps has to go through your garbage to figure out what the fuck this girl's been eating.
Oh, yeah. Screws. Mystery solved.
Has a little soul searching moment with Olivia Wilde.
Cue Aphex Twin theme song.
Massive Attack.
Oh, Massive Attack. You're right. Pardon me.
And then How to Stay Alive plays while everyone's crying and stuff. Those are my favorite parts of that episode.
So the plan is, now everybody settle in.
Mm-hmm.
Put your seatbelts on.
He's lost all the weight. He's fine. He looks like the goot. He's in great shape.
He could just go to any bar
in
South Carolina and get some ladies.
He's propositioned on the street.
A car full of babes drives by and they all go,
babes.
Every man's dream.
Oh, look at that. He looks like Steve Guttenberg.
You know what? Watching all these fucking crappy 80s and early 90s movies, I was promised a truck of babes.
I agree, man.
You right? You would think they would exist in the wild, but they don't.
Oh, do you think that... here's the thing. I think that Steve Guttenberg actually is an incel, as they call them.
What's that?
Oh, that's a Reddit term for pieces of shit that don't have sex, and they're called involuntarily celibate. Incels, and it's always the lady's fault. It's like, oh, it's just this society of women are denying me the sex that I was promised.
Here's
full of babes never drove by my house.
Right. Well,
the Beaver Patrol passed right by those guys.
What a cadre of losers.
That is the best advice you can give them is it's always your fault.
Yes, okay? Exactly.
Just dust yourself off and think, how can I... you know, become a better person every day.
Yeah.
Instead of this bitter hate cycle.
Mm-hmm. Pretending to be from New Zealand, you know.
So let's get into it. That's the plan. He dresses up with like bright cyan contact lenses, a wig straight out of a Dog the Bounty Hunter Halloween costume.
It's a big mullet.
Well, to Chris Cabin's point, when we watched, they go to the most advanced hair salon
Oh, right.
in South Carolina.
Oh, right.
God.
Yes.
It's like an FBI profiling computer program.
You know what it's like? It's the Riddler's program when he's building his costume.
Oh, yes.
Where he's right.
Where he's like, beep, boop, boop. And then, like, he has a different haircut every single time.
Yeah, that's exactly what's going
on. He's got an Arsenio Hall haircut and everyone laughs.
And it's always the thing where it's like you run through all these options in a movie and then what they decide on is one you don't see.
That always bugs me.
Because it ends on, like, a stupid, like level zero mohawk kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, he's going to go with that? But then it's like Dog the Bounty Hunter. Well, it looks terrible.
It cuts to black and the God, why am I blanking on this?
I don't know why.
The barber or whatever, the hairstylist.
The hairstylist, yeah.
Who looks like a drum tech for fucking Poison.
he does.
They cut to black and he's like, oh, that's it.
And then they show the drop of exactly that.
And then basically we just cut to like him pulling up on a motorcycle, right?
Well, Jamie Gertz is at a gas station and she's pumping gas, and all of a sudden, out of the misty streets of South Carolina comes fucking this mullet and this motorcycle.
And this
tight jeans.
Accent.
This giant leather duster.
Ugh. It's a leather duster. He's wearing leather chaps over jeans. He's wearing a tight black t-shirt.
Yeah.
And to top it off, the cherry on top of the sundae is a quote-unquote New Zealand accent.
Yeah.
Oh.
He gets some tapes. Shelley Long's like, oh, you're from New Zealand now, and your name is Lobo.
Not
Lobo.
Just, he went from looking like Lobot to being Lobo. and if his full name is Lobo Marunga.
Lobo Marunga.
Man, and what is that about?
Because I guess he's just like appropriating Maori shit.
Yeah, right?
That's
it's
cool.
The, like the indigenous people.
Man, can you imagine what fucking like DC comic Lobo would actually do to this guy?
Oh, man, the main man himself.
Wait, Lobo is a comic book character?
Yeah, he's a white. He's the last Zarnian is what he is, Eric.
He's the white last Zarni? What is that? Was that a rank in the Ku Klux Klan?
You know, I'm going to be out warming up the car.
No, he's a big hulking. He looks like Alice Cooper on steroids.
Alice Cooper times 1,000.
He's like bleached white. He's got a goatee, and he looks like kind of a little bit like Don't Tell Her It's Me.
It's not different, eyes. But he's also a badass, so he would destroy this.
It also sounds like he can keep it.
Intergalactic bounty hunter.
Yeah, sure
intergalactic
does.
Intergalactic bounty hunter.
Yeah. What line is he from?
I got enough intergalactic bounty hunters in my life.
Yeah, you're loaded up. I forgot about that.
You are chock full of intergalactic.
You know, I have a Dengar action figure at home. So.
I was going to say maybe you get rid of Dengar. You bring in Lobo.
I can't get rid of Dengar, man. Are you kidding me?
I mean, I'm not suggesting getting rid of IG-88.
You know how Dengar got these scars?
Oh, man, Steve, look who you're talking to.
I think he was in like a. And people can correct me if I'm wrong. No one in this room will know. But I think it was in, you know how instead of cars, mm-hmm. in Star Wars, they have speeders and speeder bikes?
Sure.
Yeah. Sure.
Yep.
Like drag racing speeders and stuff. And I believe he got into a car wreck.
Oh, was it a pod racing incident?
No, it was more suburban than that.
Suburban.
Yeah.
He was racing needles through the housing development.
I mean, he's a suburban commando.
So he rolls up and she's like pumping this gas and she just this gas starts flying out of this car because she can't stop looking at this hot piece of man meat.
And I mean, like, look, if you're getting on the reg from Kyle MacLachlan, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. You're not
looking at this guy. You're like, look at this boob.
You're like, oh, that's another attractive man, but you're not like, bauga.
You're certainly not giving yourself a gasoline douching.
All right, yeah, because she keeps pumping it.
It splashes everywhere. Yeah. And then he's like, hi. I'm pretending I'm from New Zealand. I'm fucking crazy. And she's like, oh, that's cool.
You want to know how I got these scars?
Now,
could you help me? My arm's broke. You want to help me get this couch inside of a van?
Tell me, was she a great big fat person?
So she goes in, because she got so distracted, she pumped way more gas than she thought.
She says $23, which is in 1990 is like $200.
Well, what's insane is she says she wanted to pump $2. And she pumped $23.
Uh-huh.
I don't think a car could take $23 worth of 1990 gasoline.
Yeah. Blow right up.
So, and she's trying to like tell the cashier this and like, can she come back tomorrow with the rest of the money? No. Turns out he's actually a robber, and there's a dude under the counter who's the real cashier with a gun to his head.
Right.
And now she's afraid. Enter Lobo and he's just like looking at the beer, looking at the Slim Jims, and being like, "I got to get out of here."
Well, no, he goes to get beer, and then he realizes what's going on, and we're treated to again a one and done. Part of this movie
is his
internal monologue. He's like, "You got to get out of here. This is dangerous.
I forgot. This is another totally one and done situation."
Yeah, and then like he's like, "I got to get a weapon. I got to stop. I got to save her. Save the girl."
It goes to the like he picks up like a Slim Jim.
Yeah,
and he's like, "Oh, what are you gonna do? Hit him in the mouth? He'll probably just eat it." And I'm like, "Why am I listening to any of this?"
You shouldn't be. So he picks up. He does a Fast Times at Richmond High, grabs the coffee, splashes it, and breaks it over this guy's head, and then punches him in the face.
Yeah,
you know what you just did there, pal? You just impressed this lady.
Yep.
And you could be like, "Hey, remember me? I'm your buddy Gus with a really bad haircut.
I'm going to a very early Halloween party. I know it's before Labor Day. I'm looking at your dress.
I'm actually in a stage production of Meet the Feebles.
I'm in a touring company. I'm in a touring company of Renegade, the Renegade stunt show that's coming through here.
I've got the meatloaf roll from Rocky Horror.
I mean, you could just introduce yourself as Gus and say, "Oh yeah, sorry, it was weird before. I was dealing with this cancer thing, and that's gone now."
Yeah, it's the perfect
nice
excuse.
Seeing you. You're a hero.
Yeah.
She's already got the boner.
Yeah, you're all good to go.
Yeah, you're right. She's already got the boner.
And I'm not saying she'd necessarily completely fall in love with you or whatever, but
You're on even footing there.
Yes, exactly. You've been redeemed from that terrible first impression.
Right. Your second impression made up for the beefed first impression.
But they get interrupted because his partner, I guess, is
his old lady.
The robber's partner is his wife. And she comes at him with a machete out of a pickup truck.
And of course, for some reason, Lobo's just useless now. And Gertz there picks up the... this giant display of Colt 45 and hucks it at her. Yeah. And she drops the machete and then she flees the scene.
This machete is like the sword of the morning. It's humongous.
I was like, are they going to cut through a jungle somewhere? Why do you need this?
And then like fucking Steve Guttenberg in this movie is saying like, "Ah, crikey, I'm an illegal alien, so I can't stay here to be interviewed by the police, so they have to flee the scene." They leave his motorcycle there. The clerk's alive.
Yeah.
What are you, he's not going to say who did it, or that's his motorcycle? How does this never come back into play
there
at all?
There was this bemulleted hero who saved the day.
He had a horrible accent. I don't even know what it was. To be honest with you, it could have been Spanish. It could have been Argentinian. I don't know.
Officer, he's clearly impersonating somebody. I don't know what's going on. He saved the day here,
but... I was more afraid of him than I was the robber, because at least I understood what that man wanted. This twisted mind, I have no idea.
If you see Lobo, responds only to Lobo.
If you see Lobo or the Heaven's Gate cult, please call in.
Lobo said he was taking off to ride the Hale-Bopp Comet.
So they go back to Jamie Gertz's place, and again, like, here is the time to be like, "Look, you know, I was going to do this costume party thing, and, you know, I was doing a New Zealand accent just to fuck with you. Again, I am who I am. Let's just talk."
But yeah.
"Now I'm Lobo." And she's like, "Oh, I have, like, Kahlua and, you know, all this other stuff." He's like, "You got anything hard, mate?" She's like,
"A bit of hair on it?
A little bit of hair on it.
Yeah. I can't do the accent, but there you go. Neither can he, though.
Yeah, no,
neither can I. I mean, we're we're all on level with Sir Steve Gutenberg's accent.
And we're not getting paid $1 million to bungle this accent either.
But so, if you'd like to pay us $1 million
to bungle a New Zealand accent, we can do that.
Sure.
Oh, yeah, the sequel, Don't Tell Her It's Us. We're four fat guys. All have cancer.
Look, we don't need any putty. No yeah, makeup. Exactly. We're good.
Don't tell her it's podcast.
The exercise might be a problem.
Yeah, well, and then we all turn into New Zealand guys on motorcycles.
We look like those fat twins in that famous photo. Just picture that times two.
By the way, I love that that's considered a famous photo.
That's up there with that kid running from the napalm in, Vietnam.
That, the sailor kissing the woman who doesn't want to be kissed.
Yeah. Oh, man, the 20th century in three images.
Yeah, and anything else that happened in the opening credits of The Watchmen.
Yeah, sure.
I think that photo's in there, too, the two fat guys on the motorbikes.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Jeffrey Dean Morgan tries to shoot them.
Yeah. And like one duck, like one gets off his bike to pick up a flower, and it shoots Kennedy in the face.
Oh man, that's a movie I'd watch.
So she's like, "Oh, I do have warm gin." He's like, "Oh yeah, I'll take it straight.
Large glass, please."
Oh, gross.
So they're about. She gets on, and he's faking a limp, which is very Bundy-esque.
Yes, it is.
And he's like, "Oh, wait, I was hit in that car accident, or that bankrupt, whatever."
And not Al Bundy, right? You're talking about
Ted Bundy.
Ted Theodore yes. Bundy. Ted Theodore.
And I'm Ted Theodore Bundy, and this is Wild Stallion.
I'm going to work at a
Jeffrey Dahmer Esquire. Ted Theodore Bundy. We are wild murderers.
Oh, like that'd be pretty cool.
That would be pretty
cool. That'd be a good cartoon for the kids.
So, he has this little idol on his neck. On his neck as a necklace. It's
yeah, got that from a garage sale.
It's from fucking Panama Jacks, man. That's a vacation oddity that you'll pick up.
Totally. And he's like, it's like reminds me of my hometown. And she's like, it looks like an Easter Island statue. He's like, yeah, that's great.
How do I lie my way out of this one?
Sex, please.
No. He doesn't want any sex.
Yeah, she's DTF, and he ain't having it.
He's playing hard to get.
He
man.
Wants love, Eric. He doesn't want just. He doesn't want just. He wants to make love to a woman that he's gonna marry in like a week or
How
something.
How do I talk to an angel?
Great song, man.
Keep Great going.
Song. Do it.
Keep going.
I can't.
Chris, dance.
Oh, yeah, he's like, how do I get out of this? Better chug this warm gin.
Oh, man. He doesn't throw up. And then, like, she, like, goes to bed, and she's like, you know.
She locks him in that room, which is weird.
She locks him out of her bedroom.
That's what it is.
Because she's so intimidated by Steve Gutenberg.
And his sexual charisma.
Yeah.
Yeah, she does the old, like, chair up against the door handle.
And when she wakes up the next morning, he's gone because, like, that's the plan is he has to be mysterious or something.
Yeah.
But then he leaves, like, the creepiest fucking note, like, written in lipstick on her mirror.
Right.
It's like, too bad you're engaged. And, like,
red rum.
You're a clobber. Thanks for the night.
I think he took this photo of her and Kyle MacLachlan out of the frame and put it up next to his creepy.
Of course he did, dude. He was stuck there with a knife.
It was insane. It's a threat.
I'm imagining Scatman Crothers in his Florida home just sitting there, and he goes into a freak out because Steve Gutenberg's pretending he's from New Zealand.
But you know what? To have a reason to come back to her house, he leaves that fucking totem there.
He does.
Yeah, that's the, again, to bring it back to George Costanza, he leaves something behind. Like that hat he leaves behind in that one episode.
You were talking about this, Kevin. I just have him imagine it was like Kyle MacLachlan doing the Danny face.
Yeah. That'd be awesome. It would give Kyle MacLachlan something to do with
that
this
would be
movie.
Nice,
God
wouldn't
damn
it?
Damn it.
So she he goes up to Shelley Long and is like, oh my God, it worked so well. Our trick really worked. And like Shelley Long is like getting the 35-gallon drum out. She's laying out just laying out plastic or whatever her end game is in this movie.
And this is around the time where this is why I'm convinced that he's a virgin.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because this is Sparkle Motion Lady comes in and she's some sort of like sex positive therapist or lecturer or some shit.
Sparkle Motion from Donnie Darko. She also was in Speed. This character.
Yeah, the woman who the stare explodes and she gets run over by the bus in Speed hilariously. I can't remember the woman's name, of course. But she's got this like fucking sex doll that's got a pair of breasts and a penis.
Yes.
Which, you know, all right. All-purpose sex doll thing. That's
I didn't know
fine.
We could show like, you know, dildos on screen in movies.
Oh, dude. I could, can you come over sometime? I'll show you.
No, I mean in like a PG-13 or whatever this movie is.
Well, no one's using it.
Well, yeah, but it's there.
Well, you can have a dildo on a shelf. Why not?
A shelf dildo, I like.
Yeah. It's right next to the elf on a shelf. They get both see what you're doing. Me.
Is there a difference?
I guess in a pinch, probably not.
Just shove it up there, man.
Oh, come on.
Make it work.
So, you
the
know.
Elf but she, in she, the shelf?
Wait, on the shelf?
I'm like, a shelf?
I guess you could store stuff on in me.
God. I don't know.
We'll figure this out by Christmas.
Probably.
But yeah, so this lady comes in. She's like, so here's, she's like explaining foreplay to him. And she's like, before you stick it in there, you got to do some foreplay. And she's like sticking her tongue out to this dummy. Like, la, 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 la. And Steve Guttenberg's like ready to fucking vomit, as is the audience.
He's still got all that warm gin in him, man. That's tough.
Oh, yeah, he's ready to go, man. He could topple it any second.
I was actually, I kind of thought that when she didn't see him vomit from the gin, that was also from her point of view, and another one of those like imaginary moments. That's what I thought.
But so the goot in this scene is like, I don't want to do this, man. And then Shelley Long's like, no, this is for your own good. So I think it's a thing where she's like, you don't know about sex because you've never had it.
Or maybe he's had it like once or twice and gotten some bad reviews.
But lord in heaven, the fact that the sister knows this, by the way.
Yeah.
Thanks anyway, movie.
Yeah, it's pretty creepy.
It's disgusting. So where are we in this disgusting movie? What happens next?
They trick her again.
Yeah, there's a lot of back and forth.
Going back to the gas station to get the motorcycle. And
right,
they have
right.
to,
and there's a funny scene. There's a funny
quote unquote
scene of like she's Lobo. God, Gus, whatever he's going by today, and his sister are driving by this gas station, and she's Emily Jamie Gertz is staked out there to try to find Lobo to give him back his totem,
right?
And they duck, and it looks like no one's driving the car because
no,
they don't want to get
a
made
stupid
together.
Joke.
Yeah. It's a ghost car.
There's ghost cars all up and down these highways, you know.
Then somewhere around here too is when she's like, okay, like we'll go on a date and hang out or something, and they go for a ride on his motorcycle because he's like, I gotta get out of town, mate. And
the weirdest thing is she's like, oh, what happened to your limp? He's like, oh, here it is.
Oh,
like,
yep, found me limp. And so she's like, oh cool, I'd be remiss if I let you leave town without going to whatever this is. I think it's the fucking dance hall from Carnival of Souls, to be completely honest with you. They go to this like abandoned thing. There's a crotchety old redneck sweeping it up. There's a child like dancing in the back.
Oh, hey, Gus. I haven't seen you since high school.
No, quiet. It's me, Lobo, from New Zealand.
Oh,
what are you saying?
No, I'm from New Zealand. I'm running a scam on a girl.
Your New Zealand pen pal. You know, yeah, we talk all the time, right?
Oh, yeah.
Finally Lobo. Came to see you, mate.
Nah, Gus, this is weird. What are you saying?
So then she's like, you know, we're going to do like a box step right now. And he's like, I don't dance. I wouldn't dance on this limp that I definitely have.
That I fake have.
And then she's like, no, let's just dance. We're dancing to no music.
That's there's romantic.
Like, it's like there's like a knockoff Phil Collins playing on the soundtrack, but they can't hear it.
You've talked to this person for exactly 4 hours. Why are you resting your head on their chest as if this is fucking everlasting love?
That's a great question.
Just go out for a cup of coffee or a beer. Or
sure.
Maybe
and get to know each other's fake lives.
Exactly.
So then she's...
Well, I feel like Gus would, if pressed for details, would be in a lot of trouble.
Oh, sure. Yeah, you know. Well, this is what, and we mentioned this while we were watching it. This is what this movie needs to do to create any kind of interesting conflict is, like, you know, she runs into a friend and it's like, oh, so and so, and their friend from New Zealand, or these friends like just came from New Zealand. Oh, what part of New Zealand are you from?
Hire Peter. Peter Jackson's in town. Oh, Peter, come here, Peter.
Nobody would have cared about Peter Jackson at this point.
I was going to say
90.
What do you think he's listening to? Like, is it Peter Jackson just griping about Dead Alive on that tape that he's listening to?
Oh, that's a good call.
Dead Alive audiobook read by Peter Jackson.
The old woman's face falls into the soup and she eats it.
I found out the hard way, by the way. Don't watch Dead Alive with your grandmother.
Yeah, that's really? You needed a warning on that?
I said about it, had it on for about 20 minutes.
Wow, that's 20 minutes too long for Grandmother Siska.
Yeah. No, it was no good.
She didn't get the monster mother, so that's nice.
Oh, mercy. So then she's like, hey, man, you know, we just had this nice dance hall lesson. Why don't you run an errand with me? And she goes to Shelley Long's house to return all these shitty romance novels that she didn't read. And here it comes, like, the clashing. And you'd think, like, Shelley Long's going to be so happy. Here's her plan coming to fruition.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, this character does the exact opposite and starts fucking with him.
Yeah, she's like, oh, New Zealand, is that hot or is that cold? And he's like, shut up.
She actually does the New Zealand. Like, she's like, what part of New Zealand are you from?
North Kiltown. I'm from North Kiltown.
But, like, yeah, it's just crazy. Like,
why would you be trying to queer the deal?
And the little girl, by the way, the little girl can only say one word, which is uncow, which is uncle. So and she, right. She only says that when she sees Steve Guttenberg. Sure enough, she says it, and like Jamie Gertz is like, wow, I don't know, I barely remember that detail. I don't know, I met this person once. I don't know, I gotta remember everything about these people's lives.
Your little kid eats weird stuff, right?
She's yeah,
oh, bug girl. Oh, it's bug girl, right?
Oh, that's sorry, piglet. Not bug girl, piglet.
Oh, piglet, oh,
bug
god.
Girl, but, we could go either way.
The husband comes home
and he's like, oh, cool. Hey, Gus, picked up the motorcycle. Gus
man.
And he's like, and then, like, he remembers the grift in the middle of it, I guess.
What a boob.
Yeah, then he pretends like he was saying, guess what I saw.
A motorcycle in front of my house.
But, I mean, like, now you're implicated, man. You're going down, too. You're an accessory.
And then he meets Lobo Marunga, and then he makes an offhand reference to him being foreign, and Jamie Gertz is like, how would you ever know that? How would you ever know that he's foreign? And the guy has no response to this. But it's like, how about he introduced himself as Lobo Marunga?
For starters.
A lot of Lobo Marungas in South Carolina?
Not in my South Carolina.
There's all these Lobo Marunga license plates here.
Now it just sounds like a slur.
So he can't take it anymore. You know, the goots through.
He's a good guy, Andrew.
He's a great guy.
He's
Steve.
Like,
he's
oh,
the
yeah,
best.
I only lie to women for a little while. And Shelley Long's plan is crazy. It winds up working, but she's like, look, no, it's fine. Look, you're gonna go out with her. She's going to fall in love with you.
Right.
And once she does fall in love with you, when she's super in love with you, when you tell her that you've been lying to her the entire time, she's going to be so blind with love, she won't care.
And I'm thinking, like, are these what her books are about? Because that stinks.
But it's Polanski adapted all of her books then? Like, that's what the level of this shit is.
It's pretty demented, man. Shelley Long should not be allowed in America after this, you know?
No, not at all. So what happens next is...
he goes over there to spill the beans.
And instead of spilling the beans, he spills his seed.
And yeah, that's one way to put it.
They engaged in premarital sex.
Well, she actually first, in the same night, she's like, I want to fuck this dude, and I'm a moral person, so I'm going to break up with Kyle MacLachlan. Kyle MacLachlan kind of just drives out of the movie. There's this offhand line that he's having sex with Madsen Amchick in order to get money for his newspaper, and you're like, what? He's like, goodbye movie.
Yeah, that's a whole series of deleted scenes. It's something about, like, her father's going to finance the newspaper.
The Grackle is going under.
Oh, man, that's
like
a whole different movie. The Grackle's going under.
Well, you spent so much money on a NARC arcade game.
The Grackle goes under. They move the newspaper to Australia, and Lobo Marunga can be the face. I know Kiwis are different, but...
He becomes the editor-in-chief?
Yeah.
They move to digital. They just call it Grack.
The Grack.
God.
But that's all to establish that Kyle MacLachlan is a bad guy and Steve Guttenberg is just the nicest guy. And whatever he does to get love is whatever he does to get love. But he's nice about it, sort of like lying and pretending to be someone else and fabricating an entire story.
After MacLachlan leaves, he comes in. He's like, I got to tell you what's going on. And she's like, no. Don't say a word. Just make love to me. She says, I want it, and I want it now. Yeah. Even if it's for one night only, I want it. And it's like, whoa. Oh, I got kids here.
What's the two questions? Are you clean?
Oh, yes. Or are you gay, and are you clean?
And
which
like,
are both very odd questions.
He's like,
very
no, odd. And pretty much.
And
is that weird?
Dubious answer also, and dubious answer.
Late 80s, are those questions weirdly related, if you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, exactly.
One of those things.
One, sexuality is a spectrum. I think that, you know, I fall somewhere on there. And two... Yeah, pretty much.
I'm not going to say I never, you know, jerked off to Sean Connery. But
Zardoza? Yeah, Zardoza.
Zardoza. Oh, yes.
So
they do the deed.
They do the dirt. Yeah. So
they and, do the dirt.
The devil's deed. And then what happens next, you wouldn't believe. He takes his contact lenses at what?
I'll click the next
yeah,
page.
Yeah, after the jump.
All right.
He disgustingly, like in front of her, just takes his contact lenses out, showing that like you were just a bet.
After dude, but this is fucking. If I fucked chilling. Somebody and minutes later they took off part of a costume, holy shit,
but
dude!
This is after he's like, I was thinking maybe we should get married for a green card. Are you ready to do that? I'm ready to do that.
Yeah.
Please, because now I'm in love, and that's just
what
all
saying.
That matters. And then like, okay.
Yeah, he takes out the contact lenses. He takes off the prosthetic leg.
Fixes his ankle. It's like the usual suspects.
The greatest trick Loba Marunga ever committed was not existing.
Well, she drops her coffee mug and it says Marunga on the bottom of it.
There's a chalkboard in the background manufactured in New Zealand.
The guy with the ankle. Did you see him? Did you see him?
Oh, that would be awesome. It'd be a much more realistic ending than this one. So she starts like fucking losing it, understandably, and
yeah,
kicks him out.
Furious, and like this is the part that we did tease that there was an extra that looks a lot like Tim Conway.
Oh yeah,
he's just got two bags of groceries, trying to go to his own apartment, and he's just like, oh, looks like a movie's happening.
Like, I don't think that dude was supposed to be there. They kept being like, sir, will you please get out of here? We're trying to film.
No.
All right, you know what? He's not going anywhere, Steve. We're just gonna have to do this.
Just put him in. Put him in. Call him an extra. Just fucking put him in.
You know what? He kind of looks like Tim Conway. Maybe the audience will think something's going to happen with this guy. Just leave him in there.
Or maybe that's actually Madsen Amchick's dad, and that's part of that whole deleted
scene.
Oh,
yeah.
That's why we didn't know. Mm-hmm. Due to that series of deleted scenes.
He's living in this house, and he's just like conning Kyle MacLachlan.
Oh, right.
The double.
Yeah, because like, they think he's rich, but he's not.
Oh, yeah.
Do a little perfect. Dirty, rotten scoundrels kind of a scenario.
There's a lot of grifting going on.
Town of grifting in South Carolina, man.
It's the grifting capital of the world, Charleston, South Carolina.
Founded by grifting.
So he goes to Shelley Long's house, and he's yelling at her like it's her fault. No, I'm sorry. Jamie Gertz. It turns back into Jamie Gertz's movie all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm. It shifts,
just following
yeah.
her. She goes to Shelley Long. She starts screaming at her.
It's hooting and hollering.
And like
rightfully
Long,
so.
Shelley Long's like, you know what? Yeah, you're right. Yeah. What you would call it? Wasn't it? Gus just did the same for me. We're no longer talking. You won't talk to me ever again. And he's leaving town to go to New York.
Yeah. FYI, he's moving to New York.
Yeah. To start anew because you were so mean to him.
by being tricked into having sex and then being upset when you find out he was lying the whole time.
So then it's like, you know, how could this crazy movie end? How about the most cliched way imaginable? An airport run-in.
Sure. Well, she has to like go to his house and she gets on his motorcycle for some reason because her car dies.
Yeah. Well, she's driving the 1940s serial Batmobile.
Well, she's in this car and she's like, I'm going to tell this guy off. And then a pop song comes on and she's like, I think I love him. Yeah, I'm gonna keep him after all.
Someone didn't want to finish writing this screenplay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there needs to be, like, this is probably a thing where, like, there needs to be, I'm glad there's not 15 more minutes of this movie where, like, you know, it takes, he does go to New York and maybe he becomes famous or maybe she goes,
right.
She gets a new job in New York and they meet each other.
2 years
later. I was expecting, like, and I'm the only person who probably likes this movie, the breakup, Peyton Reed's The Breakup, when it ends in a huge blowout.
You are the only person.
I know. I'm aware. But
wait,
like,
what is that? The
Vince Vaughn, Jennifer.
Oh, I thought that movie was okay.
I thought, and like, it just ends with a blowout fight. Like, nope, this is over. You're fucking disgusting. Yeah. And then jump. He's doing a little better. He's back to cartooning. He's he maybe got a new gig. Maybe the Grackle wants him now.
Oh, yeah, dude. He's a hot commodity.
He's doing political cartoons for the Grackle. He's got a good Bill Clinton that they could use in the upcoming. It's been 2 years.
The
upcoming election season.
Every single cartoon strip is related to how he should be impeached.
Yeah. Exactly. And Bill Clinton, you know, he interacts with Zippy.
Zippy.
Or no, isn't it Zaggy?
I don't know.
It's Zangief.
But no, she goes to the airport and like she leaves his motorcycle in the parking lot. Whatever.
It was right in the loading zone.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, and this dude is like not happy with it.
He goes, "Hey, lady."
No, in my favorite.
Lady. Yeah,
it's the funniest delivery in the movie.
So he has to. So she just leaves that motorcycle there. Who knows what becomes of it?
Well, we don't know either. The credits start rolling, man.
I need a sequel just telling me what happens.
What happens to the motorcycle?
Or at least a stinger scene.
She meets up with him, and she's like, "Oh, I'm sorry I yelled at you." And he's like, "Wait, really?" And she's like, "Yeah."
He can't even believe it.
he's like, "Oh, I'm." He's like, "Don't go to New York. I love you." And he's like, "I'm not going to New York. I'm going to my buddy's wedding in Kalamazoo, Michigan."
And it's like, oh, great. So you just got lied to again.
Yeah,
just
totally.
Just so you could do this.
Like,
goddamn
look,
thing.
We can agree that we'll be together. We can give this a shot. But let's also agree that we'll never talk to Shelley Long ever again because she's fucking poison. You should probably kill her.
Yeah, I think you gotta
kill her. At least, I think I was saying restraining order, but now I'm leaning more towards murder.
Yeah.
Well, so because, yeah.
They just, you know, Steve Guttenberg's just like, okay, fine, just come with me to this wedding and it'll be great. So they buy another ticket.
You cannot just impromptu bring someone to a wedding.
Oh, really?
What? That's so fucking rude. Are you kidding me?
Maybe he had a plus one.
But it's too late.
We've tallied the RSVPs. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Gus was coming solo.
Maybe they'll share a plate.
Gus is coming and he's bringing someone named Lobo Marungo with him as a plus one.
Oh, yeah. Lobo wants to eat. Shut up, Lobo.
I got two dinners now. I want the chicken.
Oh, man, here's the twist. Okay, I just figured out the twist.
Yeah.
He gets that wedding, and he's going between Gus Kubitschek and Lobo, other personality.
Oh, he's Mrs. Doubtfiring?
And then, no. And then it flickers in, Jamie Gertz. He is Jamie Gertz the whole time. He was all three people.
Identity. He's Shelley Long and the Pika Girl.
That's right. Yep, he was everyone.
I thought you were going to say he meets the actual Lobo Marunga. And it's played by actual Renegade.
Or it's Mr. Brooks. He's driving, and then there's Dane Cook with a mullet in the back seat, talking a bad New Zealand accent.
God. So then they fly off together. Cut to Shelley Long in the airport parking lot with binoculars.
These are professional grade binoculars. These are stalking binoculars.
You can't get these unless you're in the CIA.
I think they should be on like a tripod of some sort. They're that big.
Oh, yeah. She should be setting up a rifle, too.
They came with an orange vest, just in case.
And she's, like, talking to the little Pika kid, and she's just like, oh, look at that. You're going to have an Aunt Emily someday, you fucking lunatic.
That's pretty presumptive, crazy
totally.
Person.
I think that the husband is in the trunk. I think that's what's going on. Yeah. She's about to leave town. Yeah.
We're going to Kalamazoo. Though,
right? Oh, yeah.
Come on, Piglet. Stop. Time to go to Kalamazoo.
Come on, Piglet. Let's hit the road, Piglet.
There's blood just draining out of the trunk.
Man.
You're my plus one to the wedding, Piglet.
Holy shit. And yeah, they just sort of fly off into the sunset and she's just stalking people.
Cube, easy breezy saxophone, and we're out of there.
Totally. Oh. Woof. Need a breather after that movie, man. That movie stinks. This is an Eric Siska find. You've seen this movie like 10 times,
I've seen it quite a few. Yes. I don't know. I think it was on pay cable. I don't think this was a Comedy Central classic. I'd never seen this movie.
I watched quite a lot of that Comedy Central.
It was on something like an HBO or something. It was on all the time. And this movie always stuck with me because of its horrific crimes. And I would recommend it because I feel like it is a seeing is believing. It is crazy.
Yeah.
It's hard to find, but you should track it down if you can.
I would not recommend it, but I think it's pretty close to a seeing is believing.
Yeah, I think it's right on that. I would not recommend this at all. Again, if you find it, if somebody has it and they're like, hey, we're watching The Boyfriend School, maybe sit down because it is kind of crazy. But like, don't, you know, spend any time looking for this thing.
No, you know, if you're one of those rare Shelley Long cinematic completists, of course you want to seek it out. I don't know. I think it's seeing is believing, man. This movie's it's right up there with like My Best Friend's Wedding.
Yeah.
All these crazy romantic comedies that
I think
like
it's worse.
It is.
Because like this is a character he's playing the entire time.
Yeah.
It's a tricky evil dance he's doing.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, yeah, that's a better movie, and you got Julia Roberts, who's competent.
And yes.
And, man, you're speaking to a Jamie Gertz completist. I saved this one for last.
Oh, wait, so you're it? It's it? You got it?
No.
Nice!
Wow.
My favorite. Twister might be my favorite.
Take out the punch card, man!
Jamie Gertz is going to officiate your wedding now.
That's Don't Tell Her It's Me, directed by Malcolm Mowbray. For more We Hate Movies, check out whmpodcast.com or sideshownetwork.tv. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, and you can email us, weallhatemovies@gmail.com. Rate and review the show wherever you get it. We would greatly appreciate it.
I do want to say, write in if you got some like if you've got a story of like a romantic interest lying to you in a crazy outlandish way.
I'm sure they're out
there. I would love to hear about it.
I'm sure they're out there.
This is kind of like analog catfishing in a way.
It is exactly what it is.
It's like cosplaying with catfishing.
Yeah,
cosfishing.
Yeah. I like that.
Cosby fishing.
I will be in Washington D.C. if you're listening to this before November 11th, 2016. Because you know these go around.
This is a back catalog.
This is a timeless classic.
Districtimprov.org for tickets.
There you go. Go to whmpodcast.com. Click on the shop button. Takes you over to our TeePublic page. Buy some merch there for the holiday season for friends and loved ones.
Holiday season.
Oh, that's right. You want some We Hate Movies merch for that shitty office Secret Santa.
I know we mentioned it already, but holiday season and pay it forward. Rate and review us on iTunes or wherever you get the show. It would really help the profile of the show. It would help us keep making these.
And if you're not a patron yet, or you'd like to gift someone a Patreon membership for the holidays, patreon.com/wehatemovies. That's how you get yourself access to our bonus shows, such as Animation Damnation, A Side Order of Sleaze, and our Star Trek podcast, The Nexus. Also granting you access, of course, to our monthly newsletter, The Big Daddy Dispatch.
Mm-hmm.
All sorts of WHM odds and ends in there.
Sometimes we release these commentary tracks on there. We've got the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2014.
I made
a Turtles movie in 2004. You want to watch it?
Right. It's Raphael and Leatherface shitting on a table.
Hashtag fan films. Next week on the program, what do we got? Oh, we're going back to the land of Marvel comic books. A certain 2005 film by the name of Fantastic Four.
Not fantastic, just letting you know.
But there are four of them, at least.
There are four of them
in the movie.
There are four movies of this. None of them are good.
That's true. Wow.
There are four movies?
There are four.
Yeah.
Oh, right, the Roger Corman kind
of. And three of them are number ones.
You're right.
So until next week with the second number one, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Zadak.
Chris Gabin.
Eric Siska.
Take it easy.